Once again, we have been looking at this text in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 through 21. We've been in this text for 10 solid months, just dealing with this text of what Paul says, because we have obeyed from the heart, Romans chapter 6, 17 and 18, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, and have been buried in water for the remission of our sins, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through and 27. Paul says, now then, because you have obeyed what thus saith the Lord, God has commissioned each and every one of us to do something. And so Paul says to the church in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when I read that passage of scripture, it reminds me where I came from. Amen. Out of the cesspools of immorality, and so did you. But thanks be to God, he could look down the cord of time and see that I needed someone to help me out. And now that I've obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, he says, now I'm a brand new creature. If God has forgiven me, guess what? I forgive myself. I don't care how much you dig. It doesn't matter because God has forgiven me. And so Paul would say in verse number 18, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God has commissioned each and every one of us that say we are Christians, that are, we are children of God. God has commissioned each and every one of us to go out and reconcile somebody to himself. So if you're here this morning, God is calling. He wants you to be reconciled to him. And it's my job, it's my responsibility to help you to see how to be reconciled. Amen. I'm learning that if I can go out and help one person see that Jesus Christ is alive and well, the wise man Solomon said, I'll be wise because I save souls. But he didn't stop there. Verse number 19, he says, to which that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the words of reconciliation. Church, we got a message. That's right. And the message is to let men and women know that Jesus came, died on a cross to reconcile you back to his Father. Because remember, you couldn't do it. Neither could I. I am thankful to God that he would send the very best of heaven for me. Amen. And that's how I take it. He sent Jesus to die on a cross to take away my sins. Can I repay him? Nope. Should I try? I'm going to try my very best on this time side of life. And so I want to encourage us as members of the body of Christ to understand what we have obeyed. It's best that you don't know the truth than to know it and turn from it. I want to encourage us as we look at this lesson today. Church, we have an urgent message for the world. Amen. And the message is to help them to see that Jesus Christ is the Son of a living God. Verse number 20 says, now then we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Boy, that's a powerful passage of scripture there. Because it reminds me that the very best of heaven died on the cross, and now God considers me righteous. Boy, church, if that don't motivate you, I can't help you. If that don't cause you to think about where you're at in your Christian walk, I cannot help you, because that passage of scripture there alone helps us to see who we really are. As ambassadors of Christ, our message to the world is a message of great urgency. The message we have is to help men out of darkness into a marvelous light. The message that we have can change the lives of those we come in contact with. But first and foremost, it's got to change our lives. Amen. I'm learning that the more I preach and teach the word of God, it has to change me. And I'm getting there. Y'all didn't hear me. I haven't said I've arrived. I'm getting there. And with your help, in the help of the Holy Spirit, guess what? We can do what God requires of each and every one of us. See, because we've obeyed from the heart the gospel, the old man is done away with. And therefore, the new man should be what really guide us and direct us in our everyday life. Paul reminds the believers that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Paul goes on to tell the child of God, old things have passed away. Behold, now God wants us to be ambassadors for him to reconcile the world back to his Father. And church, and I'm learning that job is not just a preacher's job. Amen, Walls. That job is for everybody that can name the name of Jesus. But in order for you to really understand who you are, I got to remind you where you came from. I'm reminded that when God made man, Genesis chapter 1, he made man in his image. Genesis chapter 2, he made woman to help man. Amen. Woman.
That's right.
To help. I know I might not be able to say that much longer, but he made woman to help man. Genesis chapter 3, when man and woman messed up in the garden because they listened to that same fella that you and I listen to almost every other day, or if not every day. Oh, yeah. God had to repent. Genesis chapter 3, chapter 6, that he ever made man. But Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he saw that we needed some help. And so he was willing to send the very best of heaven to reconcile us back to his Father. And now Paul goes on to say, now that you're in Christ, you've been reconciled. And now that you're reconciled, I want you now to be the ambassador that I need you to be. An ambassador rolls up his sleeves. He gets dirty. He washes feet. He allows himself to be a servant of the Most High God. And I'm going to show you something, that an ambassador is not the one that we see on TV. No, he puts himself in arm's way. Why? Because he has a message to the individual that he come in contact with. And that message is that if you don't want to be lost, surrender your will to the will of God, and he guarantees you. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, he guarantees you a crown that fadeth not away. I want to encourage us and remind us as ambassadors of Christ, we need to really understand and put together who we really are and live up to what we said we would do.
Hallelujah.
Some 20, 30 years ago, I said, Lord, I'd serve you. And I didn't say I'd serve you with the best of my ability. Uh-oh. Because, see, God gives us all ability. Remember the talents? One had five, one had two. One had one. Which one are you? I'm going to let you figure that out. But I want to encourage us as ambassadors of Christ. First and foremost, you need to understand God has chosen you for this particular purpose. He's chosen you when you went in that watery grave. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and round about verse number 9, Peter says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who've called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. If anybody got a testimony, it ought to be us. Oh, yes. We can sit and talk about the dirt we've done. Oh, maybe not y'all, huh? No. We can sit and talk about our past, and we can help someone that's in that same boat come out of that darkness. Church, we have been set aside for the purpose of reconciling man back to God. Bible goes on to say in verse number 10, in time past we're not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Peter reminds us of who we are. And as children of God, as a royal priesthood, if there's ever been a time that you and I need to come out of the closet, look at the world we live in. The world is in a mess. And you know, pulling the shades down, locking your door is not going to change the situation. It's time for every child of God to stand up and be counted for Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, Jesus would say this, Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. He said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose his life. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And Jesus raises a question. What does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Church, we're the world's last hope. And if you and I can't get it right, the world we live in is doomed. I better say that again. If you and I can't get it right and live up to what God requires of us and show the world that there's a better way, just go ahead and just forget about it. But church, I believe that we have the keys because we have God himself. That's why God gave us the third person of the Godhead to dwell inside of us. That Holy Spirit, when we study and meditate upon the word, that Holy Spirit frees us from the shackles of this world. Matter of fact, that Holy Spirit that God gives us helps us to stay on the right track in the midst of everything that goes on in our everyday life. See, church, you need to understand that we're the world's last hope. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and round about verse number 12. Paul tells Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on hand of the eldership. Paul says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting, that thy lifestyle may be apparent to all. Church, you got to practice what you preach. Amen. Amen. You expect me to do it? Huh? Amen. Huh? Yes. You expect me to be here every Sunday on time? Amen. Huh? Well, what's your problem? Amen. Hmm? Oh, you got, never mind. That ain't part of my lesson. Let me go on to the next phase. Church, somewhere down the line, as ambassadors of Christ, we really understand that the world is not going to change until we embrace who we are. Paul tells Timothy, he says, till I come, this is what you need to do, Timothy. You need to give attendance to these things. Don't neglect the gift that is in you. Verse number 16 says, take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear you. Do we have a message? Yes, we do. Is the message urgent? Yes, it is. It's so urgent that you and I as children of God must really embrace what God requires of us, each and every one of us. Church, I'd hate to get to the door and hear the words, depart. I don't know you. I want to get to the door and I don't want to be like the disciples. Matthew chapter 7 and round about verse number 21. He says, Lord, in those days they will say, Lord, Lord, did we not in thy name prophesy? In thy name cast out devils? In thy name did many wonderful works? And Jesus is going to say, depart. I don't know you. Why? You workers of iniquity. I want to encourage us and remind us as children of God, as ambassadors of Christ, it's time. Romans chapter 12, round about verse 13, Paul said, it's high time that we wake up out of our stupor. And you don't know what a stupor is? You ever had that good sleep where something come out? Yeah. Paul said, it's time to wake up out of that. Salvation is closer now than when you first began. In Titus chapter 2, and round about verse number 7, say, church, as ambassadors of Christ, we must show the world the pattern of how to live this Christian walk. Oh, yes. Sometimes it's difficult. And you know why? Because you just don't want to embrace it. I'll be the first one to tell you. When I get out of whack, it's because Stan wants to get out of whack. Amen. I like to blame my wife, my children. No, when I get out of whack, I got to stop the buck right where it is. And that is me. And so I'm learning that if I can stay on the right track, then maybe I can encourage them to stay on the right track. And maybe they can encourage someone else to stay on the right track. See, in Joshua chapter 24 and round about verse number 15, we know that by heart. Joshua said in verse number 14, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, make a decision. Amen. Make a decision. Isn't that easy to do? You make a decision about everything else. You go out and buy a new house and won't even look at all the paperwork. Where do I sign? Ooh, yes. New car, amen. Interest rate 100%. I don't care. Give me that car. Come to your soul salvation. Amen. You don't even think about it. Ooh. Don't even, that's sad. Mercy. And you know I'm telling the truth. Yeah. Anybody been down that road? Yes. Yeah. I raise up both hands. But somewhere down the line, as God's children, we must understand that as ambassadors of Christ, we can change the world. And I'm learning we change the world one person at a time. It's just like you eat the elephant. You ever ate an elephant? One bite at a time. Don't try to eat it all at the same time. You ain't gonna. But somewhere down the line, church, we make the difference. Joshua said, if it seems evil to serve the Lord, make a decision. whether you serve the God of the Amorites, in whom land you dwell in, or the God of the Hittites. But Joshua says, as for Emmy, you can't go no further. You can't talk about your house. You can't help nobody else until you say, I'm willing to sacrifice my life and service for you. Joshua said, as for me. And then he said, and my house. Now, you smart people, help me out. A-N-D is a conjunction, and it conjoins something to something. Now, help me out, y'all smart people. So me can't do nothing about the house until me is... Come on now. I tell you, I ain't the smartest in the world, but I can read what this book says. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Church, it's time that you and I show the world the pattern in Titus chapter 2 and round about verse number 7. Paul sends Titus to Crete, one of the most corrupt places at this time on the face of the earth. Very ungodly place. And he tells Titus, Titus, I've left you in Crete for a particular reason. And the reason I've left you there, Titus, is to set in order the things that are wanting. The ordained elders in every church. And then he reminds Titus, I need you also, Titus, to do something else. Titus chapter 2 and round about verse number 7. He says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Y'all that work on a job, what kind of pattern do you show on your job? Huh? If you ain't showing good works, you ain't on that job long. I know that. See, we understand that. But as a child of the Most High God, as an ambassador of Christ, what pattern do you show the world when you're outside of these doors? See, the true test of your Christianity is not coming here on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. No, the true test is when I get out there. Am I the light of the world or am I the mess of the world? See, because if you're the light of the world, guess what? You draw folks to you. Paul tells Titus, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptible gravity, sincerity. He says, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Boy, that's some powerful stuff there. How can you stay unspotted from a spotted world? You got to bathe yourself with the word of God. You got to study and meditate. And then you have to make the choice to do what God wants you to do. That's right. I made the choice a long time ago. I was going to serve him. I fall short just like you fall short. But I'm so glad I got the blood that cleansed me of all of my iniquities. I want to encourage us as members of the body of Christ. If there's ever been a time to show a pattern, to show the world that there's a message. See, we have a message as ambassadors of Christ. Matter of fact, the message is really a distress call. That's right. A distress call to the world in which we live in. You know what that stress call is? An SOS. Now, you can put any acronym to you want to, but I'm going to show us that the message we have is so urgent. But first and foremost, we got to go out here and seek and save the lost. Luke 19 and verse number 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. James chapter 1, verses 25 through 26. James says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. 1 Peter chapter 5 and round about verse number 5. Peter says, humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that he may exhort you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Satan's out to get you. And if you don't think he's out to get you, he already got you. You just don't know it. But if there's ever been a time, we need to go out and seek to save the lost. Look at the people around us. And I'm learning when I can start in my household and convert one of them individuals, then guess what? They'll go out and show someone else. Those of you that are visiting this morning, I hope and pray you'll understand that I'm here to help you to see that there's a better way. And that way, in which you probably already know, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And seeing that when you go out and seek and save the lost, guess what? You always looking for an opportunity. I don't know about you. We can break bread anytime you want to break it because Jesus is going to come up in the process. Why? Because that's the opportunity that I look for. I look for every opportunity to talk about the man from Galilee. I look for every opportunity to remind the believer, stay on the right track. And when I mess up, I expect you, amen, walls, to help me to get back up on the right track. The wise man Solomon said, iron sharpens iron. And so when you're sharp, you can help me to stay sharp. And when I'm down, guess what? You ought to be up, because that's the way we work hand in hand. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, round about verse number 25, Paul said there ought to be no schisms in the body, but the body ought to have the same care for one another. That's why he uses the analogy of the body. My left foot don't tell my right foot to go one way and it go another way. My eyes might do that sometime, but not my... Somewhere down the line, we look for opportunity. Galatians chapter 6 and round about verse number 9 and 10. As you have opportunity, Paul says, do good unto all men, especially those of a household of faith. And if there's ever been a time, we need to take time to look at the opportunity that the world needs. The world needs you and I. In Revelation chapter 3 and round about verse number 20, the opportunity is that Jesus is always knocking at the doors of someone's heart. Oh yeah, he's knocking this morning. Anybody here troubled? Got some problems? Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus said, I'll give you some rest. It requires something. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest to your soul. I don't know about you. I live in the real world. I woke up early this morning. God woke me up, but Satan tried to get me. Down anybody's street. Oh, yeah. And I had to remind myself, he has no control over me. Amen. Unless I surrender my will to him, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, Jesus said, I'll come in and sup with you, and you can sup with me. Not only does he look for every opportunity, he understands the Savior's invitation. Oh, yes. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. The Bible says Jesus rose out of the ground. He says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And Jesus says, lo, I'm with you always, even until the ends of the world. See, the Savior's invitation is designed to draw men out of darkness into a marvelous light. His invitation comes when an individual is willing to surrender his will to the will of the Father. Matthew 16, 24 through 26, Jesus said, if you desire to come after me, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Jesus set the example of an invitation because he came to do the will of his Father. And in the process, he lived up to what God sent him to do. In John chapter 8, verse 29, Jesus says, I always do the things that please my Father. He was an example of his Father. John chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. John chapter 9 and verse number 4, I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day, for the night shall come when no man can work. I want to encourage us and remind us that as ambassadors of Christ, we got an urgent message. And that message is to help somebody out of darkness into a marvelous light. That message that if we take to heart, if we practice what we preach, that in the midst of everything that goes on, you can give people some hope, some encouragement on this time side of life. I know many of us are sick and afflicted, but in the process of that, as long as you keep your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, amen, you don't have to worry about nothing. Because Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, for if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, Paul said, I'm not worried about it. I have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Church, we're just mere strangers here. I told you once before, I didn't believe in aliens. But that's all we are. Pilgrims passing through. Paul said, I'll show you a mystery, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twink of the eye, at the trumpet. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible. This mortal must put on immortality. So then is the saying swallowed up death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and following. 57 says, but thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And then Paul says in verse 58, therefore be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So in the midst of my trials and tribulations, when I woke up early this morning, I had to turn to the Savior and remind myself of who I am and who I serve. Amen. I don't know about you. I believe this stuff. That's why when I'm sick, I call. Give me the elders. I don't want one. I want all of them. Lay your hands on me. It's in your Bible, whether you know it or not. And in the process of my trials and tribulations, when nothing else seems to work, I can be like old Hezekiah. I can turn my face to the wall and say, Lord, remember me and pray that he'll give me 15 more years. It's in your Bible. But in the midst of my trials and tribulations, what do you do? Words to encourage you as I close. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and round about verse number 8. He says, we're troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifested in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto Jesus, death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many renounce to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. Oh, yes, I get weary. I get down a little bit, but I'm not going to faint because I know one day I'm not going to have to worry about no more pain, no more sorrow. Yes, I ain't in no hurry. Amen. But if he calls me, I know good and well I have a place prepared because I'm going to live my life on this time side of life for him. Yes. I told you, I've tried everything else. Just don't work. Nobody can do me like my Jesus. Amen. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions is but for a moment. The pain, the suffering that we're going through right now, it can't even compare to the glory that we shall receive. And see, and you got to believe this by faith, and then you got to act upon what you believe in. Amen. And I'm learning, church, that when you do, man, life takes on a whole new meaning. Some of us sitting here worried about everything under God's green earth. How about your soul's salvation?
Yes.
If he was to call you right now, right this very minute, what would he say? Would it be enter in or would it be depart? Only you know, and God knows that you know, that he knows that you know, that he knows that you know. Somewhere down the line, it elevates us to a higher plateau. Hope I've said something this morning to encourage your heart. Church, we are ambassadors of the Most High God, you know. And I know some of us has held some high positions, but church, this is the highest position that you could ever hold, is an ambassador of the Most High God. And I want to encourage you, if you're falling short, repent. Get on the right track. It's just that easy. If you haven't obeyed from the heart the gospel, you've heard God's message this morning. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Believe, this is the inspired word of God. John chapter 20, verse 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in the book, but these are written that you might believe, and believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says you got to repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3, 13, 5. Tell your nay, except you repent, you'll perish. Confess that he is the Son of a living God. And you know what? That confession is an ongoing confession between those of us who are children of God. We confess his name every day that he is Lord of lords and kings of kings. Amen. Then the Bible says you got to be buried in water for the remission of your sins. It's in the watery grave God does a spiritual operation to where he washes away all of your sins. And then he adds you to the church, which is his body. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, the opportunity is yours as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.